Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect today. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I would like to introduce our listeners to Bishop David Cooper of the New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church in Albuquerque. Bishop Cooper, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Well, I am glad to be on with you today, Jim.
Well, I have heard about you and your preaching and your teaching and your work in our community for many, many years. And frankly, sir, I'm embarrassed that I haven't had you on ABQ Connect earlier, but I hope you have a fun experience today. I hope our listeners will be blessed. That's my prayer. And I'm really hoping this starts a relationship and you will consider using KNKT as a resource for your letting people know about Jesus. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, I want to also bring in your friend and my friend, Brian Ollerid, the president of New Mexico Praise. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. I appreciate you joining us. And Brian, I want to start the whole show by asking you to talk to us a little bit about Bishop Cooper and your work together with America Praise and how you gentlemen got to be friends. Brian?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jim. So, you know, Bishop Cooper has been a dear friend and mentor for many years. And we got acquainted a number of years ago, became friends. I started going, I'd visit his church when I could. I'd go to special services, invited him to lunch, got to know him. Pastor Richard Mansfield, of course, was part of that mix always. And got to know him. We did a couple of TBN events together. We just did a couple pastors' breakfast together. Even before New Mexico Praise, we were building a friendship. And several years ago, I asked Bishop Cooper to mentor me. Foreign to me, be a spiritual father to me. And, you know, I love this man. Bishop Cooper is a man of incredible insight, giftedness, incredible insight into scripture and proclaiming the word of God. He's humble. He's gracious. He's a big thinker, big leader, a big national leader, knows how to mobilize leaders on a big scale, and yet is humble enough to serve right here in his own backyard in Albuquerque. And so my wife and I just got to know him. Pastor Nine, I fell in love with him. And even before New Mexico Praise, God was knitting these hearts together. Mm-hmm. Pastor Richard and Cindy and Pastor Danny and Barbara Sanchez and Bishop Cooper, Mercy and I, God was building this network of relationships. And Bob Bucky says it this way, pastor up in Minnesota, he says that revival spreads at the speed of relationship, mm-hmm. right? And so there were these relationships forming. I remember several years ago, we did an event together after the shooting of Charleston, South Carolina on Father's Day. Bishop had an event in the city to honor their lives, and he invited me to come and be the last speaker. So we just started doing things together, and we got closer. And then when I had the vision for New Mexico Praise, went to Bishop and said, hey, can we do this together? And he joined the team, and he's been helping lead it from day one. And I just can't say enough about this man, what he means to New Mexico. He was one of the founders, one of the leaders of the African American Ministerial Alliance. He does a lot with UNM, with clinics, for helping people elevate people out of poverty, helping the sick, mm-hmm. the healthcare. He's done a lot with the census. He's done a lot in our city. So I just love this man. Of course, the past senior pastor of New Hopeful Gospel Baptist Church. So, Bishop, take it away. I love you, sir.
Yes, sir. Bishop, we want to hear all about New Hopeful Gospel Baptist Church and your leadership team. Can you tell us about that?
Well, New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church, Jim, has been, and thank you, Brian, for all those kind words. I don't know if I can live up to all of that, but we have been in existence for 66 years on the northeast side of Albuquerque, and I follow some previous great leadership. We are a spirit-filled Baptist ministry, which is almost like a hybrid. I tell people we run on gas and electricity. And we believe that we ought to offer hope to the masses. I always tell people there ought to be something in your name, whether or not it's your personal name or the name of the ministry that you lead, that it ought to reflect your character, your intention, and your integrity. And so we build better relationships at New Hope. And so for 66 years, we've been engaging especially the greater community of Albuquerque and New Mexico and the Southwest region and the world. And we do everything from we're in the county jails. We've been in the prisons. We've built homes in Mexico. We have a STEM camp in Panama. We do mission work in Puerto Rico. We collaborate with others and other churches to do various things. And we're just very active in not just having church, but being the church. We believe that that is so important for the body of Christ, especially in a time when people are saying that the church is irrelevant. I have a great team. My wife is my co-pastor, and she teaches at UNM in the communication and journalism division. Mm-hmm. And she's extremely smart. I always tell her she's smarter than I am because she had enough sense to marry me. And so, she's a woman of God and loves the people of God. And we're very intentional in meeting the needs of those, not only of the church. We believe that the Bible says we ought to be the friend of sinners. Mm. And so that's what we attempt to do. We want to not only teach the church to love one another, but the church to also to care for the world.
Mm. Bishop, that's amazing stuff. I'm really interested to hear about your wife and her work on the UNM campus. I mean, obviously, that's a very secular campus. I was a UNM Lobo at one time and graduated from the University of New Mexico. And I have to say, was not particularly friendly to people of faith on that campus. And maybe that has changed over the years. But I admire the fact that your wife is both involved in ministry and then out loving people in the secular world, because sometimes that's a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I believe one of my personal philosophies and understanding of the Word of God theologically is that we ought to be light in darkness. Mm-hmm. And so light is best seen in the darkest place. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in the sanctuary living the life of Jesus Christ, well, everybody's shining the light. So I can be blinded by the light. But I'm not really illuminated out of my darkness if I am a person who walking in darkness and in the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. So I think that one of the things that I understand is that Christians in the marketplace, whether or not it's corporate, whether or not it's civic, whether or not it's academic, academic circles, wherever it is, it's so important that we walk the life. Some things we don't have to preach. But we can still reach each by living it ourselves. And so she has had tremendous impact on campus. And of course she has, you know, there are restrictions and requirements in that place, but we know how to honor the authorities who are over us while understanding we are submitted to the King. And they're not always inconsistent one with another. As Paul says to the church in Romans 13, to obey those who have power or rule over you. And 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter says the same thing to the church. And so we understand that she does that in such a way. She don't walk around talking about she co-pastor Nina Cooper. She's Professor Nina Cooper, and she teaches her courses and engage in dialogue. And every once in a while, because they know she's a woman of faith, because it is evident by her love, students will pull her to the side. Other profs will pull her to the side. She also works as an ombudsman on campus for the graduate level whenever there is a need for conflict resolution between professors or students. And because she does that, it also gives her the opportunity to be a messenger of peace.
Bishop Cooper, I love to hear about Nina, and I'm already writing down things that I want you to come back on the program and talk about. I do this with Brian all the time. Brian gets frustrated with me because I line up four shows every time I have Brian on because he talks about two or three things that I really love. Brian, tell me what you're working on with Bishop Cooper now and the things that you've been discussing.
You know, New Mexico Praise is a big part of that. And the idea was, you know, united prayer leading to compassionate service. That the one thing we could agree on was that our city needed Jesus. Mm-hmm. Theologically, we're not going to agree on all points of doctrine, but we could agree on Jesus. We could agree on the Word of God and that our city needed Jesus. You know, could we unite churches in prayer? And then could we mobilize them to serve together? So we've done things like Convoy Hope, Thanksgiving outreaches, serving the poor, a lot of those kind of outreaches together. And I think the best days in New Mexico Praise are ahead of us. We have had three great years, but I think the best is coming. Of course, right now we're working on National Day of Prayer for Thursday. You know, we're working on that to be a live stream event now, just to honor the social distancing. But, yeah, I love Bishop. We worked together on the census. And so he had led the committee 10 years ago. And so this time it was my turn around, so I leaned on him to – how do we engage faith leaders to get everybody counted? Because every year New Mexico, that informs how $7 billion comes to New Mexico. So it's a big deal. You know, we work hard to put on a million-dollar event, but if we give away billions because people didn't get counted, then how foolish is that, right? So Bishop and I are working together on the census to get everybody counted. Bernalillo County is doing really well, doing better than they did a decade ago. The rest of the state's doing worse than they did a decade ago, so we have a lot of work to do. But yeah, it's just a real honor to partner with Bishop and Co-Pastor Nina Mercy, and I just love them. And I think you find couples that you can do life with, you can do ministry with. You're not gonna agree on everything, but you agree on the major things, and you love each other, you support each other, you hold each other accountable, you bring out the best. And that's what Bishop does for me. He brings out the best in me. And I felt like if this is 100 white suburban churches praying, that's the opposite of John 17.
Right.
That's the exact opposite. If this isn't Latino and African American and Native American and Democrat and Republican and high income and low income, if it's not representative of the community, then it's not a Jesus thing, because Jesus was a man for all people, and he came and said, "I'm going to start a church for the poor." We build churches for middle class and upper middle class. Jesus came and built the church for the poor. And he said, the rest of you are welcome to listen, but I came to preach good news to who? To the poor. And that's something that drew me to Bishop, because him and Co-Pastor Nina, they're so intelligent, gifted, educated, and yet they have a real heart for the broken. They can minister to politicians and people with PhDs and people that are homeless. And that really brought our hearts together to really serve the city. We serve with APD together and APS together. And I just think the best days of our city are ahead of us, not behind us. I think we're moving forward together, and it's just a real honor.
Well, we're going to have a lot of time here in this show to talk about how Bishop Cooper, your congregation, is doing in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. We're going to talk about race relations. We're going to talk about how to improve race relations. We're going to talk about how Albuquerque and New Mexico kind of meets the grade or doesn't. Nationally, so lots more to talk about with Bishop David Cooper of New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church in Albuquerque and Brian Ollerid, President of America Praise. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Star 88, KNKT, and our friends at Latitudes and Monroe's are honoring the heroes in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho.
You're listening to your live and local radio station. I'm Carlos, and I've got Pastor Jesse Lusco from Calvary on the line with me today. We talked about how he was the ambassador taking some lunch goodies over to one of our local hospitals last week.
I went and just when I knocked on the door, and just this look of surprise that was on his face. He was like, he was like so just like overjoyed and surprised. And and you could tell maybe nothing like that had happened, at least not recently. And so he was just stoked, and he called for all of his buddies, and they were just pumped to have a delicious lunch and just kind of have the community vibe and the appreciation.
That's so good.
That's Pastor Jesse Lusco from Calvary Church. Star 88, KNKT, Monroe's and Latitudes, live and local, loving our first responder heroes in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho. Thanks to our friends at Latitudes Monroe's.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Bishop David Cooper of New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church in Albuquerque with us on the phone, along with Brian Allred, president of New Mexico Praise. Gentlemen, I apologize that we're having to talk over the phone. It'd be a lot of fun to have you both in studio. And Bishop Cooper, I have not been to your church, but I know that I've been to a lot of full gospel churches in my time, and I can tell you most of them really know how to worship. And I know if Brian Allred has been in your church, this is a guy that can get after it when it comes to singing to the Lord. I, unfortunately, am rhythmically challenged, and just clapping to the beat's a challenge for me. Bishop Cooper, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your congregation and how you're dealing with the COVID-19 crisis.
Well, first of all, you are always welcome, and we have plenty of people who have challenges when it comes to rhythm. And if you clap on the offbeat, we all good with you. We know how to celebrate Jesus and just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And New Hope and myself and my family, we are very intentional when it comes to things like the coronavirus. I've engaged in long relationships with the University of New Mexico Health Science Center, and I've also I've had several grants working with CDC as it relates to HIV, AIDS, mm-hmm. and testing and stigma, because we just believe that it's so important that the people who need the help receive the help.
Yes.
And I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And so we have already begun to do some major things. We already partner over the years with people like Project Share, who feed the homeless, and Miss Annie's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And now we are working with the Hope Center, used to be St. Martin's Hospitality, where we feed on a monthly basis meals to the homeless. But in this season, we're trying to do extraordinary things for an extraordinary season in the life of our country and the world. And so, like, even this Friday, we are giving out 300 bags of groceries to the first come, first serve at our church parking lot for our drive-through pantry, and the $25 worth of foods in the bags. And the New Hope members and our friends have supported that. But we're also presently and currently talking with Secretary of Health Office about doing testing, possibly even in our parking lot, because the death rate among African Americans, and even though New Hope Church is African American led, we have people of every race, every creed, and every color, even though the majority of our congregation, probably 87-88%, is African American. We have Anglo, we have Latino, Hispanic, we have Natives. We have even got a couple Asians who frequent the church recently. Mm-hmm. And so all are welcome. And we're really about ministering to people. So we've been practicing social distancing ever since the Tuesday after the second Sunday in March, when the governor made the announcement about what was going on, being a person born and raised in Chicago and looking at the numbers there, and seeing how many pastors who have died in the African-American community, probably about 300 to 400 across this nation from this virus, and all different denominations, all the way from Presbyterian to Word of Faith churches, to Apostolic, to Missionary Baptist churches, to Northern Baptist churches, Church of God in Christ. It was important that we set an example. Since I'm the president of the Ministers Fellowship of Albuquerque and Vicinity, which is an organization that has about 28 African American led congregations, the pastors who are a member of our organizations. And it's an organization over 70 years old and has been fighting for civil rights and human rights in this city and making sure that the minority in the majority state is heard and ministered to and cared for like the rest of its citizens. And so for us, this is a very important matter. Many of our churches have a lot of seniors in them, and some of us even have members who are in the nursing home, who are members of our churches, or their family members are members of our churches. And so for us, testing and putting gloves and masks on, because no matter what happens, I believe that nobody can close down the church, because the church is in your heart. We believe that we are dating our method, but we are married to our mission. So the method has changed recently and may change for a little while, even in the return of us coming back to our sanctuaries. But this is the perfect time to get your sanctuary remodeled. Nobody's in there. So when they do come in, they see a brand new sanctuary, but it's also an opportunity for the church to do what it has been called to do, which is to witness. And so I really believe that sometimes we marry the method. And so we want to have the church that our grandfather had, and that the truth of the matter is that the church is always growing progressively in its revelation and its understanding of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the purpose of the church in the world. There's nothing that's changing, just more is being revealed as we draw closer to God, as people of God.
Bishop, I want to ask you a little bit about your services. I'm sure you're doing utilizing technology, and you're not meeting on Sundays and other days where you're doing when you're preaching and having worship. How do our listeners access what you're doing online right now?
Well, okay, so our website happened to be down in the middle of coronavirus. We got hit with a big virus ourselves, and so we'll have a new website up through Faith Life in another couple weeks. But you can catch us on Facebook, New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church. That's a mouthful. New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church, Albuquerque, on our Facebook page, or David C. Cooper Facebook page. And those are two ways that you can receive our services. We Zoom our Bible classes to our Facebook pages, both of them. And they can join us at 10 a.m. Generally every Sunday. On special days like Easter, Mother's Day, we have a 9 a.m. What we call a celebration for the resurrection. And this Sunday we're having it for Mother's Day. And our friend Israel Holton from Israel and New Breed is doing videos for us and sending it to us, especially for our service on Sunday. So you're all welcome. At 9 a.m. and then at 10 a.m., we go right into the sanctuary. We have a reduced crew of about six people in the sanctuary, including me and my wife. And we practice social distancing. For a couple Sundays when it spiked real bad, it was just me and my wife in my church office because we believe we can do both. We can believe we can render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God. Long as Caesar is not trying to keep us from preaching the gospel. Because the last time he tried it, we rose from it anyhow.
Amen to that. Bishop, is there a way that people can call into the church office if they'd like to speak with somebody?
Oh, yes. I'm going to give you two numbers. One is 505-881-7780. And then if they have a real specific need, they can call 505-385-0575. And that's actually my personal number. Yes, and I'm giving it on the airwaves. I may not answer if I don't know your number, but I'll call you back be glad to talk with you and have prayer with you or connect you to some of our intercessors. We've got about 48 intercessors who have dedicated their lives to prayer, who are part of my church, who will be glad to call you back and pray with you and speak a word of encouragement to you.
Well, that's a perfect segue to talk with Brian about America Prays a little bit. Brian, as the nation is going and the world is going through this COVID-19 crisis, Have you changed the model at all for America Prays and what you're praying about?
You know, we haven't had to change the model. So our model is pray anywhere, everywhere. 99.9% of our prayers don't happen in a church building.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've actually seen, this has been the 2 months of COVID-19 have been the largest season of growth for America Prays because our model works, especially in an environment like this. And so we've seen incredible growth financially, numerically, in every way, platform influence, because churches are saying, we can't meet at our church. How do we get people to pray? You know, One is through Zoom. One is this model, which every church takes a monthly day of prayer, and people pray at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. from their house, from their car, from wherever they're at. So pray anywhere, everywhere. We've added to that praying for, we've always been praying for spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
In Chronicles 7:14, but we added to that praying for God heal the land.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. But the verse 13 says, when I send a plague among you, when I send a fire among you, when these things happen, not if, but when, calamity is going to happen, plagues are going to happen. And usually there, about every 100 years, there's a global plague that hits. And so when this happens, if my people who are called by my name, well, first of all, humble themselves. So if we don't change our posture and come humbly before God, we can pray all we want and nothing's going to change.
Mm.
And because God is close to the broken in heart, the humble in heart, but he knows the proud afar off, right?
Mm.
Pride, you know, pushes us away from God. Humility attracts God to us. So we have to first humble ourselves. We can look at an arrogant, sinful world, but if we have the same pride, the same prejudice in the church, then nothing's going to change. And so it starts by humbling ourselves. So we've really adopted that during this time of plague and the coronavirus globally to say we got to humble ourselves as a church and come before God humbly, see if there be any wicked way in us. Search our heart, O God, David said, see if there be any wicked way. And, Lord, so you can heal the land. You got to heal your church before you can heal the land. We can't cast racism out of the church when there's racism in the out of the world when there's racism in the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that right now is a great time for God to move, and we believe that right now we're witnessing the greatest surge of prayer in human history, and all the data from Google Social Trends would back that up. That right now there are more people praying probably than any point in history, and we feel like prayer is always the predecessor to evangelism, to souls, to revival, that when God starts to move, first he gets his church a praying, Matthew Henry said, right? So we feel like right now, you know, 1857, there's a businessman named Jeremiah Lamphere. He's a business guy. He's in New York City. He feels called to start a noonday prayer meeting, and he printed 20,000 flyers for his prayer meeting and put them up all over the city, and he goes to have his prayer meeting, and nobody shows up. And about a half hour in, one person walks in, and by the end of the 1 hour prayer meeting, there were six plus him, you know, not exactly what he was hoping for, but he kept it going by the third week there up to 40 people. October 14th, 1857, the stock market crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of thousands of people in a day lost their job. And within a month, this prayer meeting goes to every day, 10,000 people every day packed into a little hall in New York City praying. And it sparked the great prayer revival of 1857, Jim, that went across the nation, went to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Detroit, Chicago, began to spread. 1858, you have this great awakening. And they said, historians say from 1858 to 1859, over 1 million people gave their life to Christ and joined a local church out of 31 million population. And so, but it's preceded by a stock market crash, heavy unemployment, people desperate for God. And so we believe that right now with over 30 million Americans unemployed, nothing we've ever seen like that in our history, that this is the time for the church to rise in united prayer, humble ourselves, seek God's face, and see the greatest revival that our nation's ever seen. So I'm more optimistic than I've ever been.
I love the vision, Brian. I appreciate you sharing that. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about race relations in New Mexico and nationally. We have Bishop David Cooper the New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church on the phone, along with President Brian Allred, president of New Mexico Praise. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here's Ava, the owner of Monroe's.
Dad, I think we're in deep doo-doo.
Is that why everyone keeps buying all the toilet paper?
Actually, New Mexico culture is rich. Plus, Monroe's has red chili, green chili, and the best customers in the world to go with it.
Boy, Dad, you must really love our customers.
I sure do, just like I love you, Stella.
Hey, what about me?
Of course you too, Ava.
Treat yourself to a delicious Monroe's meal. See Monroe's menu at monroeschili.com, then call in your order to Monroe's on Osuna at 881-4224 or Monroe's downtown at 242-1111 for carryout or free delivery.
God Said Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
Teaching children how to manage money is a big responsibility. Lessons should be age-appropriate, visual, and fun. For young children, a bank or jars allow them to see money separated for saving, giving, and spending. Have them do tiny chores around the house. Agree which ones are just part of living in a family and which ones you'll pay them for. Pay them only for a job well done, but don't demand perfection. Older kids, 6 to 12, can take on more responsibilities, making their beds, folding and putting away laundry, washing dishes, and raking leaves. Teach them to tithe and save, but let them also spend some of what they earn. If you can do all that, you'll have trained your children well in the way they should go.
Your money and your life belong to God. Learn to manage them both well when you visit moneywise.org. Write it down, moneywise.org.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Bishop David Cooper of the New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church in Albuquerque on the phone with us, along with Brian Allred, president of New Mexico Praise. And Bishop Cooper, tough subject when we start talking about race relations. But I want to ask you, just very frankly, if you could tell us how you would rank New Mexico. I know you have a lot of experience nationally and internationally. How is New Mexico grade in terms of race relations? Because we have a lot of people of different ethnicities living in our state.
So that's a tough question. I think that one of the things that all of us need to be aware of is that racism has various forms and various ways that it shows itself. Some of it's institutional, where in the workplace, where as it relates to promotion, hiring, some of it is economic, whether or not it's redlining, the lack of access to credit. Some of them are even health related, where there's a lack of health insurance and ability to attain proper health based on socioeconomic factors, and some of them are written into the laws, and then some of them are just personal people who are in authority, and you'll find this a lot, who work in places where things are supposed to be given or delegated or distributed to the vast community, and they have their preferences based on race, or color, or language. And so for African Americans, one of the most unique things is that we are in, we are one of the minorities in the majority minority state. And so for years we have been petitioning those who are in power, to stop calling us a tricultural state, as if African Americans have not been in New Mexico, since, we've been riding horses.
Right.
And so, with the Buffalo Soldiers and others who worked, and helped settle New Mexico just like any other, race, that's presently inhabited, we've always been the minority. That's true. But in, as we celebrate our minority status as a state, we often say we're tricultural, we're white, we're Hispanic, and we're native. Mm-hmm. And so the African American is the minority in the minority majority state, us, of course, and Asian Americans and some others. But the truth of the matter is, the cause of that, racism is still alive in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, it's almost like people saying when Obama was elected president, then that meant that America had no more racism. But if that was the case, we would have never had a Charleston situation. We would never have white supremacy groups marching and doing all of the things that they're doing in the open now. One of the things I tell people, the greatest barometer of racism is how many of us who are Christians can speak against racism when it's not against our race. I think that's a great barometer, so that many of our churches, especially in New Mexico, are multiracial. But when it comes to African American issues or Native issues, does the average white Christian or the white average white pastor feel a need to speak to that? I know we're all going to heaven, but we got work to do on earth. And
amen.
So, do we ever speak against that? So, even with how many African Americans are dying under coronavirus, when we mount our pulpits and talk about the judgment of God, the grace of God, and the miracles, are we talking about the disparities that would allow that to be true in a country that, in my hometown of Chicago and the state of Illinois, we're 75% of the deaths, but we're only 45% of the population. Mm. And how that can happen in a country as wealthy as we are with the access we have to medical facilities and doctors and nurses. And then even here in New Mexico, so many people in the Native American community have been adversely affected. And where's the church? Where are we speaking? If I'm not a Native American pastor, have I preached the last five Sundays and not mentioned this disparity of death and sickness? Mm-hmm. Or have I blamed it on their ungodliness? Because sometimes we use that as an excuse. And as African Americans, we know that many people in the Anglo-Christian world before the Civil Rights Movement believed that African Americans were not equal to, that we were a cursed race because we were of dark skin. And so that allowed them to put us in slavery. Mm-hmm. And even though we're out of slavery, many of them don't understand, if I can say this clearly, they don't understand the impact of raising several generations, almost 200 years of slavery in America, raising several generations of people beaten down, broken, stolen from their land, stolen from their families, and treated in so many ways that does not denote Christian love, but also basically gives evidence to a demonic mindset towards your fellow man. So even though some of that has changed publicly, there are laws on the book, but we still deal with it. You know, I joked with another African-American pastor, and we know it to be true, that now as a black man, I can put a mask on in my car outside of the parking lot of the jewelry store and go in there with a mask, gloves on. But if I had did that 6 months ago, I probably would have been shot in my car before I even got inside of the jewelry store. And that's not necessarily by policemen. That might have been the jewelry store owner because he automatically thought that I didn't have health concerns or respiratory concerns, but because I'm a 6'1" black man, he might would have automatically assumed I came to rob him, because that mindset in the minds of so many people, because we've been portrayed on televisions and movies as the worst parts of ourselves, and sometimes we do it even to ourselves to promote that's what many people think of us, except for the exceptional people like the Oprah Winfrey, the Michael Jordan, the people that they think are exceptional in our community, not understanding that every African American, like all of God's creatures, are exceptional. But especially if you overcome that level of racism for so many years, and then even in how we are raised by our parents, and how they have to deal with their own mental health and raising us in a society where they have to tell us we have to be more careful, because people look at us and our color itself is a deadly weapon. So that a black man can get shot crossing somebody's yard or speaking too loudly to somebody and get off or get, and the person who shoots him can get off from shooting him simply because he's black, because being black is like having a 45 pistol in your hand.
Mm. Well,
for those who are already operating in that.
Well, I know that we're going to also here in our last segment be able to talk about some answers and maybe some challenges to our listeners, and want to also bring Brian back into the conversation about how we should be praying about these things changing. And Bishop Cooper will talk a little bit more about the actions we should be taking. We'll take a break right now, say thank you to a couple of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Times are tough and getting tougher. New Mexico's worked hard to stand strong, but Democrat leaders are failing us. The left is playing with our lives, using coronavirus to cram socialism down our throats. We've had enough. And Jared Vanderdusen's ready to fight back. A native son of New Mexico, Jared Vanderdusen will do whatever it takes to get our state back on the path to health and prosperity. Step one, Vanderdusen will take on the socialist threat in Congress, stopping their dangerous schemes in their tracks. Step two, Vanderdusen will punish the Chinese government for their lies about coronavirus, introducing legislation to hold them accountable on day one. Step three, Vanderdusen will stand up to the liberal media and hold them responsible for sabotaging President Trump at every turn. For our health, our safety, our future. Jared Vanderdusen for Congress.
I'm Jared Vanderdusen, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Jared for New Mexico.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
on KNKT. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Bishop David Cooper and Brian Ollerett, president of America Praise, on the phone with us this afternoon. I want to remind you guys that it'd be really easy to do this if we were in our studio together, but because of social distancing, we're doing this on the phone. Brian and Bishop Cooper, I want you to feel free on the phone to talk to one another. You don't just have to address everything to me. I want to remind you of that, because I know you guys have some fun conversations. And I want to share with you both that I will have been on the air here at KNKT a year, June 17th. I've attended Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque for many, many years, but when I was asked to consider doing this job as the host of ABQ Connect, Chip Lusko, our general manager, and of course, Pastor Skip Heitzig, who I know you both know, I asked them, I said, what is the purpose of ABQ Connect? Is this just a Calvary thing? And they said, no. They said, what we would really like to see happen is we would like to see the evangelical community, Christians of every denomination, come together and use KNKT as a tool. Now, Brian's doing this because he now believes me and trusts me. KNKT is now a tool for America Praise, and we communicate regularly about what's going on. Brian's new book called When We Pray, we've talked about that several times over the last couple of weeks. But Bishop Cooper, I want you to know that KNKT is a tool for you as well, and we want to make sure that we're getting the message out to believers, and you have a unique perspective that only you and your community has. And frankly, we need to educate people, white people. We need to educate Asians and Hispanics and people of every race so that they understand what is going on in the African-American community. And I know that you'll do the same thing with us. I mean, we'll share with you what's going on with us. So I hope you'll utilize KNKT for those purposes. And Brian, I want to go to you right now and ask, I can't help but think that while we're talking with Bishop Cooper, that you are thinking about things and maybe even praying over what he's saying. How should Christians be praying about these issues we're talking about?
You know, I think the Bible makes a big deal out of it. You know, Peter's there praying. He gets the vision. Cornelius is praying. Peter gets the vision, right? Call nothing unclean that I've made clean. That was referring to a people group, the Gentiles, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think prayer has everything to do with race. And I think prayer is about getting God's heart and God's mind. So a multi-ethnic bride was Jesus' idea, right? He's coming back for bride out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So a multi-ethnic bride was his idea. That's how he views heaven. He created the diversity. And so I think prayer is more than a conversation with God. Prayer is impartation from God. In other words, when I pray, I get his heart. I begin to love the people he loves. I get to care about the things he cares about. I weep over the things that he weeps. And I really think that Jesus weeps over racism in the church. It's the one institution in America that's still segregated. And, you know, that starts by reaching across the aisle to get to know people different than you. And just saying, hey, can we do lunch? Can we get to know each other? We don't have to agree on everything, but we can agree on Jesus. We can agree on the Word of God. And it takes intentional effort because it's just easier. It's easier just to be around people who look like you and think like you. It takes extra effort. And so I think a lot of pastors, leaders are just busy. I don't think it's intentional racism. I don't think it's intentional prejudice. I think it's just we're busy, we're tired. It's just easier to do life with people who look like you, think like you, live where you live. And it takes effort to reach across the aisle, but that's what Jesus modeled. Jesus reached out from heaven, took on human flesh and bone and skin, became one of us. Talk about crossing the aisle. Mm-hmm. He gave up divinity to take on a mortal flesh and blood. And so I think it takes real effort. It's one at a time. You can only win people one at a time and begin to change the conversation. So for me, race relationships are very personal. I grew up born in Los Angeles, grew up in the mission field. And when I was, about 13, 14 years old, living in Monterrey, Mexico, I nearly got killed because of the color of my skin, because I was white. And so by some very poor, in a very poor part of Monterey, and got chased and nearly killed by, with knives and some teenagers older than me. I felt my life threatened. I scared. And, interestingly enough, we'd been reading Uncle Tom's Cabin that year. And so it scared me. I cried. I'm a young teenager, 13, 14 years old. But you know what, Jim, in my heart, I prayed, God, let me never forget. Let me never forget today. Let it burn me. Let it scar me. Heal the scar. But let me always remember what it feels like. Of course, my wife's from Honduras. She's Hispanic. And, you know, in New Mexico, a lot of times people will say, do they speak Mexican in your country?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because I'm not from Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, you're brown. You're brown. What? You know? So, no, we speak Spanish in Honduras, right? And so we felt that, you know, multi-ethnic couple. And I think you just have to love and lead with love. And Jesus was the ultimate demonstration of that. And Peter, the guy that Jesus chose to build his church, was full of racism and prejudice. And Jesus had to get a hold of him through prayer.
Yeah.
As he's praying, he has a vision. And so I think when we pray together, and there, you know, there's all kinds of prejudice. There's all kinds of races. There's theological prejudice. Where a Reformed will look down on a Pentecostal, and a Baptist might look down on a Charismatic, and a Pentecostal might look down on the others and say, well, you don't have the freedom and the spirit that I have. And so there's denominational pride and prejudice, you know, that we would tend to think that our denomination maybe has more biblical, you know, purity than your denomination. Or so there's all kinds, and it's just a matter of searching our heart to say, God, expose it when it's there, show it to me. I think many good men and women, myself included, have had racism, have had prejudice. And it takes prayer to really allow God to really expose that. And I love the prayer of King David in Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way, any offensive way. Racism is offensive to God. Prejudice is offensive to God. People with master's degrees, doctor degrees, both my wife and I have graduate degrees. It can be easy, unintentionally, maybe to look down on people that aren't as educated as you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so don't have the opportunities that you had. And so we have to really be intentional to search our heart, because this was Jesus' prayer, Jim. Father, make them one.
Yes.
With the same quality, the same power, the same level of unity that the Father and I have. And we've turned unity into, I won't talk bad about you. You don't talk bad about me.
Yes.
And I'll give you a shout out every now and then on Instagram. You give me a shout out on Facebook. Can you imagine Jesus saying to the Father, I'll never talk bad about you. You never talk. You know,
yeah.
I'll give you a shout out on Instagram. I mean, Father, make them one.
Mm.
And racism stands in the way. Prejudice, pride stands in the way. That's why Paul would say in Ephesians 4, you know, clothe yourselves with complete humility.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit.
Yes.
Why did he say strive? Work to the point of exhaustion, because Paul knew by example that unity was hard work, that it took humility to see others as better than myself, to prefer one another before myself, to prefer someone else's theology above myself, to prefer their background above myself. It took humility, intentional brokenness before God to prefer one another, walk in humility. Why? So we can have humility. We can have unity. The product of humility is unity, because pride is always the greatest obstacle. Paul knew that, because him and Barnabas got into it, and they separated ways. They broke fellowship. And Paul knew from personal experience how hard unity is. And so, you know, I think we make every effort. I think New Mexico Praise has been one small piece in that puzzle. We're not the only unity movement in the state by any means, but we're one of those pieces that is bringing diverse groups together, Native American, Hispanic, white, African American, Asian. It's one of the pieces of the puzzle. And I think that's where we can find common ground, is prayer.
Yes.
You know, I may not agree with your eschatology, but man, my city needs Jesus. Can we pray together, right?
Yes.
And
Brian,
thank you, Bishop Cooper, for leading the way.
Brian, no problem. And Jim, so I know we don't have much time left. So can I just add one quick thing, Jim? We got
please,
time?
Please do. We have 5 minutes. We're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things that I think is important, because so y'all can understand, because sometimes when the question is asked about racism in African Americans, and especially Christians, you know, the answers that we give sometimes can be alarming, because to many Christians, they are not racist themselves. Mm-hmm. But that don't mean that racism does not exist. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things, because we are Bible-based believers, the Black church, the Black Christian, is probably one of the most dedicated Christians you ever find in the world as it relates to how much they believe in God. And because of what they came through, they had a total dependency on God for food on the table, for God making a way, for God causing them to prosper even in this land, and even their heavenly focus, because many times they were born poor and they died poor. Not because they didn't work hard, because some of them had some of the worst jobs as far as labor intensive jobs, but the system was against them in making it. So some would, but some didn't, and more didn't than did. And one of the things that we are very sure of, that if we're going to really get rid of racism, then the things that of the African American community has to be raised to a higher value with our brothers and sisters who are Christians. So that's why I said what I said earlier about how we raise, you know, Paul says, I became all things to all men that I may win some. Mm-hmm. So that I became, I took on myself certain things that was part of the culture, not idol worship or anything similar to that, anything that would be in defiance of my faith belief with God. But I began to show that I valued those things in their culture that would cause them to have an open ear to our community. So Dr. King says that the number one area of prejudice in our society is the local church. Mm. And even though there are more African Americans going to white churches, there are fewer white people going to African American churches. And that's just simply because of, again, the teaching and the lack of teaching as it relates to racism. And I think that has to be part of it. And the second thing, and then I know we're going to have to pray before we leave today. somebody did warn you when you called me to come on. But the second thing is that every year we do the Martin Luther King March, mm-hmm. and in our city, a man of peace. And other than political officials, there are very few. There are some. Now, I'm not saying there's not any, but there are very few white evangelicals who march with us. Hmm. And so, on issues that are important to our community, those kind of efforts, because I believe that prayer is the key, but I also believe that prayer ought to push you, ought to pull you into a different kind of practice. Mm-hmm. So we're not just praying, but we're also doing. And so I say that, and I love you both, and thank you for this time.
Bishop Cooper, it's been a real blessing. I've got one real quick question. We literally have 30 seconds, and I want you to comment on this as quickly as you can. Does the fighting between Democrats and Republicans remind you of the hatred you've seen between races, Bishop?
Yes, of course it does. So, you know, the Republicans used to be Democrats and the Democrats used to be Republicans, if we all understand the political history of our country. But yes, it's racism. It's cloaked in things like conservatism and liberalism, but the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of racism in the middle of it. And that's why you see so many African Americans who are Christians voting different than white Christians vote.
Yeah. Bishop Cooper, thank you so much. Bishop David Cooper, New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church in Albuquerque, and Brian Ollerid, thank you, my friend, President of America Praise. Gentlemen, what a great show. Appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.